Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
From the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, excuse me, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Now, friends, today is the feast day of St. Cuthbert, and we will be talking about him in just a minute.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking, and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on the Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Person.
Okay. Like I said, our saint of the day is Saint Cuthbert. Now, there is a question as to Saint Cuthbert's origin. Was he Irish? Was he Scottish? Was he a Briton? Does anyone know? We do know that he was orphaned at an early age and may have spent time shepherding and may have even fought the Mercians before becoming a monk. St. Cuthbert was born around the year 634. He died March 20th, 687. He became a monk at Melrose Abbey. Around the year 661, St. Cuthbert accompanied St. Eada, whose feast day is October 26th, to Ripon Alley, which had been built by the prior of Melrose Abbey. He returned to Melrose Abbey when the abbey had been turned over to St. Wilfrid, whose feast day is October 12th. Apparently, St. Cuthbert and St. Wilfrid had a different opinion about Celtic liturgy versus Roman liturgy in the Catholic Church. St. Wilfrid was appointed abbot by King Alcfrid. St. Cuthbert and St. Eada returned to Melrose Abbey around 662. Upon their arrival, they found Melrose Abbey gripped in illness. Even St. Cuthbert caught the bug. We think it was the plague, but we're not positive. While he was recovering, the proper of the monastery died, and St. Cuthbert found himself made prior in the absence of the prior. It is important to note that Melrose Abbey was a daughter house of the abbey at Lindisfarne. And so Cuthbert engaged in missionary work, and when St. Colman refused to accept the decision of the Council of Whitby in favor of the Roman liturgical practices and immigrated with most of the monks to Lindisfarne, most of the monks of Lindisfarne to Ireland, St. Eada was appointed bishop in his place and named Cuthbert prior of Lindisfarne. He resumed his missionary activities and attracted huge crowds until he received his abbot's permission to live as a hermit, at first on a nearby island and then in 676 at one of the Farnes Islands near Farnborough. Against his will, he was elected Bishop of Hexham in 685, arranged with St. Eada to swap sees, and became Bishop of Lindisfarne, but without the monastery. He spent the last 2 years of his life administering his see, caring for the sick of the plague that decimated his diocese, working numerous miracles of healing, and gifted with the ability to prophesy. And he died at Lindisfarne. Let's see. What else can we tell you? Cuthbert retired in 676, moved by the desire for more contemplative life. With his abbot's leave, he moved to a spot which Archbishop Eyre identifies with St. Cuthbert's Island near Lindisfarne, but which Rain thinks was near Holborn at a place now known as St. Cuthbert's Cave. Shortly afterwards, St. Cuthbert moved to Innerfarne Island, 2 miles from Bamburgh, off the coast of Northumberland, where he gave himself up to a life of great austerity. At first he received visitors, but later he confined himself to his cell and opened his window only to give his blessing. He could not refuse an interview with the Holy Abbess and Royal Virgin Elfleda, the daughter of Oswiu of Northumbria, who succeeded Saint Hilda as abbess of Whitby in 680. The meeting was held on Coquay Island, further south off the Northumberland coast. In 684, Cuthbert was elected Bishop of Hexham at a synod at Twyford, and that's believed to be present-day Alnmouth, but was reluctant to leave his retirement and take up his charge. It was only after a visit from a large group, including King Ecgfrith, that he agreed to return and take up the duties of bishop. But instead of Bishop of Lindisfarne swapping with, Iada, who went to Hexham in Cuthbert's place. Cuthbert was consecrated at York by Archbishop Theodore and six bishops on March 26, 685. But after Christmas 686, he returned to his cell on Innerfarne Island, where he died on March 20th, 687, after a painful illness. He was buried at Lindisfarne the same day, and after long journeys escaping the Danes, his remains chose, as was thought, to settle at Durham, causing the foundation of the city and Durham Cathedral. The St. Cuthbert Gospel is among the objects later recovered from St. Cuthbert's coffin, which is also an important artifact. After Cuthbert's death, numerous miracles were attributed to his intercession and to intercessory prayer near his remains. In particular, Alfred the Great, King of Wessex, was inspired and encouraged in his struggle against the Danes by a vision or dream he had of Cuthbert. Thereafter, the royal house of Wessex, who became the kings of England, made a point of devotion to Cuthbert, which also gave a useful political message as they came from opposite ends of the English nation. Cuthbert was a figure of reconciliation and a rallying point for the reformed identity of Northumbria and England. After the absorption of the Danish populations into Anglo-Saxon society, as Michelle Brown puts it, the 8th century historian Bede wrote both a verse and a prose life of St. Cuthbert around 720. He has been described as perhaps the most popular saint in England prior to the death of Thomas Becket in 1170. In 698, Cuthbert was reburied at Lindisfarne in the decorated oak coffin now usually meant by St. Cuthbert's coffin, though he used to have many more coffins. In 995, the community of Cuthbert, founded and settled at Durham, guided by what they thought was the will of the saint as the wagon carrying his coffin back to Chesterley Street after a temporary flight from a Danish invasion, became stuck hard on the road. During the medieval period, Cuthbert became important in defining the identity of the people living in Northumbria, north of Tees. Simeon noted that it was the people of St. Cuthbert, that is, the whole people between the River Tees and the River Tweed, who waged an unsuccessful campaign against the Scots in the Battle of Carham in 1018. By the later 11th century, the bishops of Durham had established a semi-autonomous region known as the Liberty of Durham, later the Palatinate of Durham, between the Tyne and the Tees. Within this area, the Bishop of Durham had almost as much power as the King of England himself, and the saint became a powerful symbol of the autonomy the region enjoyed. The inhabitants of the became known as the Hallowerfolk, which roughly translates as people of the saint, and Cuthbert gained reputation as fiercely protective of his domain. For example, there is a story that at the Battle of Neville's Cross in 1346, the prior of the abbey at Durham received a vision of Cuthbert ordering him to take the corporal cloth of the saint and raise it on a spear near the battlefield as a banner. Doing this, the prior and his monks found themselves protected by the mediation of Holy Saint Cuthbert and the presence of the said holy relic. Whether the story of the vision is true or not, the banner of Saint Cuthbert was regularly carried in battle against the Scots until the Reformation, and it serves as a good example of how Saint Cuthbert was regarded as a protector of his people. A modern interpretation of the banner, designed by Northumbria University academic Fiona Rayside Elliott and embroidered by local textile artist Ruth O'Leary, is now on display at the Saint's Shrine in Durham Cathedral. And let's see, it appears that in the 12th century, Cuthbert may have been, or at some point, the body of Cuthbert was incorrupt. Let's see. According to Bede's Life of the Saint, when Cuthbert's sarcophagus was opened 11 years after his death, his body was found to have been perfectly preserved or incorrupt. The apparent miracle led to the steady growth of Cuthbert's posthumous cultus to the point where he became the most popular saint of Northern England. Numerous miracles were attributed to his intercession and to intercessory prayer near his remains. In 875, the Danes took the monastery of Lindisfarne, and the monks fled, carrying St. Cuthbert's body with them around various places, including Melrose. After 7 years of wandering, it found a resting place at the still existing St. Cuthbert's Church in Chesterless Street, until 995, when another Danish invasion led to its removal to Ripon. Then the saint intimated, as it was believed, that he wished to remain in Durham. A new stone church, the so-called White Church, was built, the predecessor of the present Grand Cathedral. In 999, his relics were enshrined in the new church on September 4th, which is kept as the feast of his translation at Durham Cathedral and as an optional memorial in the Catholic Church in England. In 1069, Bishop Aethelwine attempted to transport Cuthbert's body to Lindisfarne to escape King William at the start of the harrying of the North. And there's no indication whether he remains incorrupt to this day. But I think that's enough about St. Cuthbert. So let's talk about the daily update. Tomorrow, on Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Terry is going to do a show about the Colby House and introduce Albert, who just got out of prison after a long imprisonment. Apparently, they were friends in prison and remain friends today. And I just want Albert to know that there are plenty of Catholics out here who support him and will do anything that we can to help him. On Friday morning, 7 a.m., Catholic Ken Letchfield will be talking about Holy Week and how important it is for us to participate in Holy Week, especially Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, which are all part of the Triduum. Lent actually ends at the beginning of the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday. So Ken will talk all about that. Then on Friday at 10 a.m. on Catholicism Rocks, William hopes to do an interview about evangelism on the game Roblox or Roblox, but that has yet to be confirmed. But if I know William the way I think I know William, he will get it done one way or another. And then on Burnt Toast and Coffee at noon on Saturday, William will do an interview with the founder of Catholic Sprouts. That's going to be a very interesting show. Then on Saturday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern, our own Lisa Marie Nicole is going to be on Facebook Live to do her Easter concert. And I know we're all going to attend her Easter concert, right? Right. I know I will. And then it's not too early to point out that Lisa's next Rockin' for God podcast is on April 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern, where her guest will be concert pianist and music director Faith O'Brien. And Faith is the music director at St. John the Baptist Church, which is where I believe Lisa serves as cantor, and she may be in the choir at times. I'm not positive about that, but I know that Lisa sings there, and so that's going to be a very interesting interview. And like I said, Faith is also a concert pianist. And that pretty much, I'm hoping that next week, John will have time to start putting his notes together on the book of Revelations. He's promised us a series on that, and I'd like for him to get it started, but I don't know if that's going to happen this week or next week. So I'm hoping it happens this week. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and call the show quits today. I only took up 32 minutes of your time. I want you all to go visit my friends Tony and Paulette Rock at rockcompanyshop.com. If you place an order today, you can still get your stuff in time for Easter. It'll just come DHL, which is going to cost a good bit more, but it can happen. But it's got to be placed in the next day or two at the T-H-E, Rock, R-O-C-K, Company, C-O-M-P-A-N-Y, Shop, S-H-O-P, .com. And I'm sure you all know how to spell .com. And so with that in mind, I also want you all to go to CatholicismRocks.com and join in the conversation there. They've got lots of good things going on at Catholicism Rocks. And finally, I want you to go to MorningOffering.com. That's MorningOffering.com. It's a great Catholic website, and it's got plenty of great Catholic information, including your daily morning offering. It's got the Liturgy of the Hours, it's got a daily reflection, a daily meditation, and it's just a general great website. So anyway, we're going to call it quits. I want you to have a great rest of your Wednesday, and a great Thursday until I see you right back here at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 2:30 Central, 1:30 Mountain, and 12:30 Pacific. So you guys on the left coast can listen to us over your lunch break if you take lunch at 12:30. So anyway, my name is Richard Pettis, and I'll see you all tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.